All right. Greetings, Saints. It's the Chief Sinner, Bob, speaking about the wonderful, matchless grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to the Chief of Sinners, praise his name. Making Christ known quite a bit in the highways and byways, so usually I stick with the gospel presentation because I'm dealing with it almost every day with people. So I'm coming to Galatians 2 here. And let me have a word of prayer. Oh, Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for the word. Thank you for your grace that's sufficient for us, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. Oh, Lord, use these lips to proclaim Christ, that the pride of man would come down, the grace of God would humble us. And all glory to you, our great God and Father, you, Lord Jesus Christ, and you, blessed Holy Spirit. We just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, in Galatians 2, well, we know Galatians 1, Paul's saying twice, these teachers are coming in, they're coming against the gospel of grace, the grace of Christ. They're perverting the gospel of Christ. And in 1:9, he says, as we say again, I said before, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than you have received, let him be accursed. So any other gospel is another gospel beside the gospel of grace, which is no gospel. Because we're saved by grace, not by works. So I'm going to kind of cover that, maybe go into a few areas of the working out of it. As I go to Galatians 2:16, I'm probably going to read through 3:7. But in 2:16, this is right after Paul rebuked Peter, because Peter was eating with the Gentiles and the Galatians until the Judaizers came in. Then he separated himself and wouldn't eat from them anymore. And the Lord says, I was looking for the scripture in Galatians where it says, if you add circumcision to Christ, Christ shall profit you nothing. Wow, how great profit is Christ? One drop of blood could die for many worlds, and you know, he gave up his whole life for us. And it's, if you add a work to Christ, that's how serious it is. If you add circumcision to Christ, then Christ profits nothing. How could Christ profit nothing? But that's how bad a work to grace is. And it steals God of his glory and steals us of the glorious gospel of grace. Okay, so that's the background. Paul rebuked Peter. And saying, well, now you're being like a Jew. Is that salvation? And remember, in Acts 15:11, this is a great scripture for the Catholics. Peter says, we Jews are saved by the gospel of grace, just like the Gentiles. So that's a good verse for the Catholics if you're witnessing to them. If you're not, ask the Lord to burden you for them. Ask the Lord for power to witness to them. Okay, so that was kind of the introduction. Let's read verse 16, Galatians 2. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And the next chapter 3, first 7 verses, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit, by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the same as the children of Abraham. Now, okay, go back to the verse 16 there and commenting on this a little bit here. So we're not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, when I see the scripture, I really believe, and it says it again, we're justified by the faith of Christ, that it's Christ being the author and the finisher of our faith in Hebrews 12. And so if he's the author, and in Philippians 1:29, it says it's been given to us not only to believe on Christ, but to also suffer for his name's sake. So just a brief description of this faith of Christ. What's it look like? I probably won't get real excited today in my voice because still a little bit sore from my recent sore throat. So I might talk a little bit easier, and I won't get probably too excited about the scriptures like I usually do. But the Lord's will be done. He'll take care of it. Okay, so in Galatians 5:6, it says, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. Okay, so, you know, in my old religious days, I got human faith and I got human love, and it works for its own benefit all the time. It could only work for self because that's all it has is self. That's the root of my faith. That's the root of my love. Until I get the faith of Jesus Christ and working by his love, then it's just all self-love. It's a love that seeks its own. And, you know, 1 Corinthians 13:5, it's not a love that doesn't seek its own. So when we got, do we have that faith that works by God's love? God's faith that trusts God, that looks to God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and it looks to our one true God, and it doesn't look to itself. So that's the faith that works by love, and it's God's love working in us. Love in Galatians 5, if we went down to 22, look at 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentle, goodness, faith. So there's the fruit of the Spirit. The love and the faith are the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is one package. When we get the Holy Spirit, all these, you know, attributes are to him, to us. Why? Because we're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God. It's not of works. Ephesians 2:8-9, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So there's God willing and working in us in Philippians 2:12-13. Now, as I'm dealing with people on the highways and byways and wherever the Lord would open the door, I'm always dealing with them doing something. They just want to add something to Christ. Christ, I just had a lady from another church down at the terminal just about an hour ago, and she says, you must make the first step toward Christ. You must accept Christ. I says, well, then that's a work you did. She agreed. And I says, well, then you're saying you're saved by that work and not by Christ. She tried to agree with both, but she just wouldn't give up that she made the first step. I says, look at the Bible says nowhere to accept Christ as your personal savior. It says Ephesians 1:6, he makes you acceptable in the beloved. Now, I know these scriptures I got to memorize because I'm using them all the time on the streets because most people made the first step. So if you make the first step, you got to keep stepping. You got to do it. And you made the step by your faith. And so it's not the faith of the Son of God. And it's just self. Okay, so that's knowing this. But by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, in John 16:8, it says, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me. Now, when I first read the Bible through once or twice, I says, I don't believe that Jesus Christ is God risen from the dead. I knew I didn't trust that. It might be a historical fact, but I don't trust that. I'm not banking my whole eternity that Christ died and rose from the dead. I got to do something. But praise the Lord, he gave me repentance to acknowledge the truth that without Christ, I could do nothing, and that all my righteous deeds are like filthy rags to God. And I did everything to be seen of men in life. I was just one hypocrite. And praise the Lord, he gave me that and showed me that. But now I'm convicted of unbelief. Now, let me ask you, you ones that are listening today, have you been convicted of unbelief? Did you just hear the Bible, grew up on the Bible? You always believed the Bible. You always accepted Christ. And you were never convicted of unbelief? And I have doubts whether you're truly saved. You know, you must be convicted of unbelief. Why? Then you need the faith of the Son of God. You need God's faith. And so do I. And I'm saying he gave me faith. And I know I cried out, Christ, if you're this risen Lord, give me faith. I can't do it. And when faith came, it was a fruit of the Spirit, because God produced it. So, do you have a testimony? Have you ever told anybody about your unbelief? So we must be convicted of the sin of unbelief to get God's faith. You know, so we can believe facts of the Bible, and say, oh, I believe it because the Bible says it. Yeah, but do you have this faith that works by love, this faith that overcomes? It's God's faith. So we can't boast on it. I got this great faith. If I got anything, Christ gave it to me. I don't have nothing apart from him. Without God, I can do nothing. But through Christ, I can do all things. He strengthens me. That was Whitfield in a quick sermon one day. When he preached a quick repentance, it'd say, repent. Without Christ, you can do nothing. Then it'd say, believe. Through Christ, you can do all things. So that was his two quick verses on faith and repentance. And where's it give the glory? Gives all glory to God. The Father drew me, the Son paid it all for me, and the Holy Spirit applied it to me. And who does the application? Is it a human application or is it a divine application? Is it the Holy Spirit applying the word? He could apply it because he wrote it through men. Holy men were moved because the Holy Spirit moved to write the word. So who applies it? Is it the Spirit or is it us applying it? All I know is I can't do nothing without Christ, but through Christ I can do all things. Yes, Lord, apply the word to me. Yes, Lord, conform me to your image. Yes, Lord, increase my faith to trust you more. Okay, so we must be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And man, that law is so hard to figure out. I had the Ten Commandments probably memorized at 5 or 6 years old, and I thought, what a great way to live. I'll keep out of trouble. And they kept me out of all kind of outward trouble. But it just didn't deal with my heart until I got to a place where I seen covetousness and, evil desires as sin. As God showed you your evil desires, your covetousness is sin. And it seems like that church I was talking to, that lady down there from the church today, you read all their brochures and all they say is you can get rich. You can have a whole lot of money. I says, young lady, I think it's deceitfulness of riches. I think you ought to get out of there. Can't serve God in money. She thinks you can. So anyway, I'll be, by grace, praying for her. I pray the Lord convicts her of taking the first step. It's God who wills and works of his good pleasure. And man can't, Lord, boast in nothing. So the works of the law, has God worked that law in your heart to the point where we're going to go in, look at verse 19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. So how am I living if I'm dead? while you're dead to the law, now you're living unto God by the power of God. So, and then, you know, we'll go over that 20. I just wanted to say that you must die by the law, because the law is good. The law, the Ten Commandments are holy, and we're not. So that's what the purpose of the law is, to show you we're not holy or good, and Christ is holy and good. He fulfilled the law. Now, you know, we're saved by Christ's blood and righteousness. Now, we often sing about the blood, and we should, but we don't talk much about the righteousness. Now, did Christ fulfill all the righteous requirements of the law in his perfect life? And did he do it for us? Is that our righteousness? Because he has fulfilled the law, the holy, righteous law. Christ has fulfilled all. Well, don't get too excited. I don't know. So did he fulfill that law in his perfect life, and did he do it for you? I remember, 40-some years ago, witnessing on the street, and the guy says, "Have you kept that law perfectly?" "Yes, I have." "How'd you do that?" "In Christ, he done it for me." "Well, how about this?" I said, "Yeah, I've done that." He says, "How?" I said, "Through Christ, he has done it for me. I'm perfect by the law through my Savior who kept the law for me. I'm righteous in him." How many of us say we believe Christ shed his blood and died for our sins? How are you living? Trying to be righteous? You can't do it. I can't do it. Christ is our righteousness. If you truly got the faith to believe that he never sinned, he who knew no sin became sin for me. He fulfilled all the righteousness of the requirements of the holy law in himself, and now in him I have God's righteousness, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin that I could be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Do you have that righteousness? Not only the blood cleansing you, he died for my sins, yeah, but how about your righteousness? Are you trying? You can't do it. Give up. Look to Christ, his righteousness, his fulfilling. He fulfilled all righteousness. Jeremiah 23:6. He's the Lord my righteousness. Who can bring any condemnation against God's elect? It's Christ who died, Christ who's risen. He's our righteousness. But so many are still trying. It's not trying. It's I'm crucified with Christ. I died with him. Okay, verse 17. I just did 16. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Should I continue to sin because I'm under grace and not under the law? God forbid. Look, we get the Holy Spirit. We get a new life on the inside. And that new life is empowered by the Spirit to do what? To do the law. To love God. To love your neighbor. Have you been empowered by the Spirit to love God and love your neighbor? Not to be righteous. Christ is our righteousness. He has fulfilled all things of the law. But now I got new life. The Spirit of God lives in me. And now I got this written on my new heart to love God and love my neighbor. And the Spirit empowers me to do that. Not like I should, but praise the Lord, I'm growing in grace on that. And we should be. But we should have the power to do that. And, you know, I've been in churches where they just use grace as a license to sin and do anything you want. And I'm like, that's not the grace I know. Grace I know, Titus 2:11-12, teaches me to deny ungodliness, teaches me to live soberly and righteously in this present evil age. Why? We get the Holy Spirit. We get this life in Christ. So, God forbid if we should continue in sin that grace abound. Verse 18, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. So many say they start off right and just go back to the works of the law, trying to do something, add something to Christ, add my baptism, add my trying to be good, add my money giving, add my church attendance, adding something to Christ, and that then Christ profits you nothing. You can't add nothing to Christ. You're perfectly righteous in Christ. And your sin's all gone to him. The blood has cleansed you from all, and now he's my righteousness. Let me ask you a question. In myself, too, do I ever build myself up in this righteousness in Christ? Or am I still going about to try to establish my own righteousness like the Pharisees were doing in Romans 10:3? I did that my whole life, trying to be righteous, trying to be like Jesus, trying to do this. And it was a fruitless effort. And outwardly, sure, I'm self-willed. I'm proud. I can do many things that look good, but in my heart, pride, selfishness, ego, covetousness, lust, envy, that's in all of us. And what's going to be your righteousness? It's got to be Christ. He's all of our righteousness. Okay, so verse 19, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I may live unto God. So you've got to die by that law. Die to your self-efforts. Die to your righteousness. Have you died? I died. I have no hope but Christ. I tell people on the street, look at you got Christ plus you're doing that. I got Christ alone. One of us is going to hell. On judgment day, one of us is lost. And I tell you, you got to see that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh too. You can't put all the attributes on the Father. The Father, he's a type of Savior, but he's not the one that shed his blood. The Son shed his blood. Sometimes in my old church, I used to hear people praying, thank you, Father, you shed your blood for the forgiveness of sin. I'd like to stand up when he's praying and say, hold on. God the Father did not shed his blood. God the Son shed his blood. God the Son shed his blood. It was the blood of God in Acts 20:28. And so when we pray, by the grace of God, let's pray according to the scriptures. Let's give Christ his due. I mean, he's the creator of the universe. All things are created through and by Jesus Christ. John 1:3. John 1:10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world didn't know him not. Colossians 1:16, he made everything that exists. Christ created it all. Can we ever exalt Christ as the creator? What are we going to say on judgment day? When he's judging everybody at the white throne judgment, he's exalted at the right hand. He has his glory back that he prayed in John 17:5. Father, restore unto me the glory which I had before the world was. Did you ever in your life give glory to Christ for being the creator? Or do you know him after the flesh? You know him as the baby born. Yeah, you'd say virgin born. But you don't see his preexistence as God, the eternal Son, with no beginning, with the Father, the only begotten from all eternity, and the creator of the universe with his Father. Nope, we've got to give the Father the credit. We can't give the Son. Why? What's the Son? A less God than the Father? He's equal to the Father and the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit is brooding on the face of the earth when in the creation. He's the creator too. Do we ever give God the Holy Spirit credit for creating? No. Do we give the Son? Maybe very rarely. Do we really know? And I mean, I think of these things, you know, because, man, I was a hypocrite for so long saying words that I didn't know, didn't believe. And then the Holy Scripture set me free that Christ is God manifested in the flesh. I didn't want to bow or worship him because I thought he was the best man that ever lived, but not the Almighty. Revelation 1:8, he's the Almighty. Just saying that because, oh, Lord, make us pray aright according to the scriptures and give Christ his due. So thank you for that. Okay, that was just, it says I wasn't going to go off on my blurb, so I just went off. But it's his truth, it's his word. Okay, so through the law, I'm dead to the law that I might live unto God. Verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So, do you have that title? I am crucified? I got a bunch of I am titles. Christ is the great I am. Before Abraham was, I am the eternal existent one. And what does Caiaphas say when they're trying to accuse him? Are you the Son of the Highest? Are you the I am? Christ says, I am. Kill him! And I'll tell you what, if we were there and you were religious like me, I know I would have been saying, kill him too. How can a man be God? the mystery of the scriptures. It's the mystery that the Spirit reveals to us. He is God in the flesh. So, I am crucified. That's one of my I am titles. Yeah, Christ is the great I am. I am crucified. I got another I am title. I am the chief of sinners. I got another I am title. Wretched man that I am. There's my I am. Christ is the almighty I am. He's the great I am. He's the eternal existent I am. And I am the chief. I am crucified. And I am vile. Job says, I abhor myself. I am vile. And so there's another great I am for me. I am the chief of sinners. So in our flesh dwells no good thing. So that I might live unto God. Okay, pause about halfway through. Any questions, comments, testimonies? Got any
I have a question.
Go ahead.
The question is about what you were saying in the beginning about the in Galatians 2:16, where it says we're saved by the faith of Christ. What? How do you read that as? It's not like Christ's faith that saves us, right? It's our own believing. But maybe.
No, I'm saying.
I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think faith is a gift, there, Jim. That it,
yeah, and also when you
from,
mentioned it among the fruits of the Spirit, I want to ask about that also. It's not, I mean, faith, the believing, like saving faith, believing in Christ, it's not a fruit of the Spirit, right? I think it means more like faithfulness there, like the continuing perseverance in being faithful of doing, believing, I guess. I don't know. What do you think? Or Mark, what do you think about that?
Mark, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I guess in terms of the fruit of the Spirit, I'm not, that's an interesting point you make, Jim, but as far as the first point in terms of the faith of Christ, I think it's the word that can be translated of or in. I would say in Galatians 2:16, he's saying faith in Christ. Now, we could see that as faith that comes from the Spirit, that it's a gift, that faith is a gift, but I would still have to say that it is, and I still have to say that it is the faith of the believer, but it's the faith of the believer given to us from God, but it's still our faith that saves us. It's like God looks at us, that we believed on him, as if we have believed, and we have, even though it was given to us by grace. It's still like accredited to us as if we believe, but really it was by his grace that we believe, but it's still our faith that, that saves.
Yeah, I think that's an objective genitive there. It's like the Christ is the object of our faith.
So I'm just trying to make a point that we were in unbelief and then God gave us faith.
No, I am into that for sure. Like the verse you quoted in Philippians is super, and also in what we read this morning, 1 Corinthians, or I think chapter 1, around verse 30, I think I don't have a Bible here, but it's like we're in, because of him, we're in Christ. It says it a little bit obscurely, I guess, but it's because of him we're in Christ. We're not because of ourselves, our own faith. It's because of God, the Father, that we're in the Spirit, that we're in Christ.
Amen. If the Father didn't draw us, we'd have never believed.
Right. No one can come to him unless they're drawn on, right? Yeah, I don't want to cause trouble. I just wanted to ask what you thought about that.
Yeah, that was good. I'm glad Mark here, and he's the pastor. I could throw the hard questions on him. People could say something to him.
I would like to look further into that faith versus faithfulness in the fruit of the Spirit, which I'm sure you'll get into in there when you get to that part in the fruit. In coming weeks.
Who knows how long it'll take, but yeah, someday, hopefully, Lord willing.
Amen. All right, thanks, Jim. All right, let's go on. Christ gave himself for me, verse 20. I am, I went over the I's, our self I ams versus Christ, the great I am. And verse 20, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Remember, the apostles preaching to these Galatians, they're all on fire that Christ is their righteousness, their holiness, their all in all. And then another teachers come in and they say, yeah, Christ plus the circumcision. And Paul's fighting for the gospel of grace. And we need to fight for it too. We need to contend for it. Because if you add a work to grace in Romans 11:6, it's no longer grace. It becomes works. And man, there's works gospels everywhere, all over the place. And they're trying to get you off of Christ onto something you do or don't do. So, you need to focus and stay focused on Christ, our object of faith. So he's the object of faith. Faith doesn't save us. Christ saves us. Christ is the complete savior. Christ is the object of faith. Christ is our all in all. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's just everything, and we're nothing without him. So anyway, I was convicted of unbelief before faith came, and praise the Lord. All glory to Christ. All glory to the Father. All glory to the Holy Spirit who convicted me and convinced me. And so praise the Lord. So if righteousness came by that law, then Christ is dead in vain. So we got to watch those law works, you know, because the law is righteous and holy and good. Nothing wrong with the law. The problem's with us. He gave the law that sin would increase. He gave the law to drive us to Christ. Now, when I thought I was a good person, if you still think you could keep the law, you still think you're good. When I thought I was good, then I could keep a good law. But when I knew I was just a self-righteous, self-made hypocrite, without any hope, without any righteousness, hallelujah, what a savior came along. Save a wretch like me. And I can't thank him enough. And Lord, let me make you known. And the great and mighty things he's done for me. He told the, when he healed the, I think it was the guy from Gadarene, it was demons. He came back and says, Lord, can I follow you? He says, no, go home and tell them the great and mighty things I've done for you. Have you ever told anybody God saved you from the law, saved you from your own righteousness? Or are you still stuck on your sins? And you need to be, and he died for our sins. But you need to go to the self-righteous sins too. Christ didn't die for that, and he is not our fulfillment of our righteousness. We're still lost. So, that law is tricky. I tell you, the Spirit's going to give us understanding. So now he's going to go again after the foolish Galatians. How could they turn from Christ being all in all? I tell you, the old heart is so wicked and deceitful. Many people say they believe, but it's just a human faith. It doesn't go any further than themselves. It's not a faith that overcomes the world. It's not a faith that works by love. So that's God's faith. So verse 1, chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. I think of this verse and often, and I think, oh Lord, as I'm talking to people, let me see Christ. It's like being the ever fresh slain lamb. Almost like seeing him crucified through the scriptures. You know, he who knew no sin became sin. There he is as the sin offering. He's the scapegoat. Our sin was laid upon him. He's the Passover lamb. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And I can imagine Paul setting forth Christ crucified in all those types and shadows in the Old Testament. That's one of my studies in the scripture, as I study the scriptures, to study all the Old Testament types and shadows and see and bring them to a conclusion fulfilled in Christ, crucified in Christ. How many times it talks about the blood, the sacrifice. It's the blood that makes atonement for the soul, Leviticus 17:11. You know, it's in the sacrifice, and it's got to be a perfect sacrifice. Abraham's offering, when he went to offer Isaac, stop, I'll provide the sacrifice. And one of the Hebrew scholars was saying, when he says, I'll provide myself the sacrifice, God saying, I'll become the sacrifice. And there's Christ fulfilling that scripture too. I can imagine Paul, from all the, he knows the Old Testament, and maybe he's got the Old Testament memorized, probably at least had the first five books of Pharisee to Pharisee, and he's able to describe all those sacrifices and just show Christ crucified. Now, if that don't make you weep, what's going to make our hard hearts weep, especially us men? Oh, nothing would ever make me weep in my life. And man, when he was showing me the cross and dying for me, that was his spirit. That was God. His hard heart. I can't thank him enough. Crucified among you. So all those, I bet you can get at least 50 illustrations on that. Now Christ was crucified. And I could just see Paul saying, then they come in and say, he did all that, but that's not enough. Let's add a work to it. Let's add circumcision to it. Let's add a baptism now in place of circumcision. Let's add, plus I give my money. I do this. I help people. I go on the street and witness. If you add one work to Christ, that'll damn you. Many of us say, Lord, Lord, I did it. Jesus, I never knew you. Matthew 7:21-23. Okay. So, foolish Galatians, Christ crucified among you. So that, I don't know, you know, these other laborers on the streets. Oh, wow. I'll tell you, I was down at the terminal today and I seen Mark talking to a guy. I see Brother Jim talking to a guy. And we got two laborers. I look over and I could just weep because I know the gospel of Christ is going forth. And I'm so excited to watch those guys witness. And sometimes I just sit there and pray for them, pray for the guy they're talking to or the person they're talking to. And man, I don't know what gets you guys excited. That gets me excited. So Brother Jim, I'm sure you're glad the Lord thrust you out and brings you out. I pray that by grace you'd keep coming, and Mark and myself, that he'd keep thrusting us out. And had a labor, maybe he'll start coming out with us Friday, 70-year-old fella. And he's telling me about grace and don't add nothing to it. Oh, it was great. So I'm praying for more laborers to be raised up. But normally if you don't witness in your family or your work, you won't witness in the highways and byways because you know those people. You rub shoulders with them, and praise the Lord. Always get good reports from Linda and Michelle at the supermarket. They're giving us Muslim ladies some tracts to read, and they're passing out tracts all the time at the supermarket and where they're at. And what a blessing. So, Lord, we pray that you would give us some fruit that would remain, Lord. That's mm-hmm. what we desire. Give us fruit, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, for the word going forth. Okay. So Christ crucified among you. So this only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, you know, normally the works of the law, as I grew up in religion, I knew the works of the law. I knew the commandments. But received ye the Spirit? Really, the Holy Spirit had no place at all in the church. Not in the Catholic Church, not that I ever heard. It was never a spirit, the Holy Spirit. Maybe on Pentecost, they'll mention the Holy Spirit came down in the flame of fire. Then I guess he went back up, and then we're done with that for 364 days. And we never hear the Spirit. Why? Because it's always your work, and it's always a work of the law. It's not a work of the Spirit. And how about us? I think we, even as true believers, we still go back to the law sometimes. We still go back. I got to try harder. I didn't try hard enough. I didn't read enough. I didn't do this enough. Yeah, well, repent. It's a sin. Christ's blood cleanses from all religious sins, too. I confess it, and I says, thank you, Lord. You died for that, too. And thank you for cleansing that. And on I go, onward and upward in this most holy calling. And I'm always confessing my sins. Jeez, I don't know if there's a day goes by, an hour goes by, I'm not confessing something. And, but hallelujah, I never seen Christ fail yet. So how do you receive the Spirit? By the works of the law and the hearing of faith. So most people never hear about the Spirit. So, And then you got some groups, like the group was today, and I'm telling her I can't be good, and she's telling me, oh, the Spirit will do that, the Spirit will do this. And I'm like, well, just let, she says, let them. And the witness lady witnessed to me, I said, I can't let God do nothing. What am I, God? If I let God do something, I'm saying, God, you can't do nothing until I let you. Then I'm God. He can't do nothing until I let him. Is that the God you know? Not the God I know. He's in control of all things. He's supreme. He's sovereign. He's Lord of lords. He'll have his will. Oh, in spite of man. He saved me in spite of me. He saved me because of Christ. He saved me for Christ's glory, not for mine. I'm saved for his sake. So all I can say is hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank you, Father. Thank you, blessed Holy Spirit, for conviction and conversion. So, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or the hearing of faith. Okay, and I could say, by the grace of God, the Lord's kept me on the streets for a lot of years, a lot of centuries, and I don't know if, I've never had no one come up to me and talk to me about the Spirit. Not one person. I don't think I've ever heard one person on the streets, and I've been there a few thousand times, have come up to me and witnessed Christ to me. Not one. So, praise the Lord. We need some laborers in the highways and byways. We need some laborers. We should get back to door to door, too. But Lord, raise up some laborers. Pray for laborers. Body out there. Pray for some laborers to be raised up. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, if we were supposed to be praising the Lord, and we should be praising him and be glorifying him, and by the grace of God, we'll glorify him. But, you know, if it wasn't for poor lost souls, he could have just taken us right to heaven when he saved us. Why'd he leave us here? Poor lost souls. Poor lost souls. My friend and I were on a bus or a streetcar yesterday just coming home from the terminal, and he's talking about sinners in the hands of an angry God. And, man, he was a dear brother. I hope to get together with him again. And he's saying, Bob, the people are just like on a thread over hell in God's divine wrath. His sparks are flying all around them. One spark hits that web, they're going to drop into hell forever. As he's speaking, sinners in the hands, I see all the people looking at him, looking around like, man, mister, is that me? Yeah, that's you. And at any time, God's mercy, they lost their, not in hell today. And we're the same. If we didn't get grace, we deserve hell too. Why God saves anybody, it's a mystery. But he does, for his glory. There, I better shut it up. Yeah. So, praise the Lord. So how do you receive the Spirit? By the hearing of faith or by the works of the law? So I heard and heard, didn't have faith, and Christ gave me faith. All glory to him. I ain't taking no credit for faith. That's a gift of God. Praise his name. Okay, or the hearing of faith. So, would you have a testimony to say that? Why don't most people witness? I don't think you'll know what to say when you get there. I knew what I said when I just got saved. I couldn't keep the law. I couldn't believe. Christ came to me, gave me faith, cleansed me of all my sin. I know his blood cleansed my conscience from sin. I'm not guilty anymore. He has paid it all. He's my righteousness. He's my very life. Christ has come to me. I know the Father. I could pray my Father, which is in heaven, and he's my Father. I got eternal life. I'm saved by grace. God did it. I didn't do it. If I did it, it would be by works. So that's what I tell people. You're saved by grace, not by works. Most people look at me. Oh, I had one person from Jamaica. Oh, no. They were from another country today. She looks at me and goes, Mister, nobody ever tells me about this grace before. That is the first time I've ever heard it. Now I have to look for that in my Bible. Thank you very much. You know, she went away. Librarian. She was a librarian. I was just rejoicing. I was like, thank you, Lord, you know. All right, onward, downward, and self, upward in Christ. All right, so verse 3, we're in 3:3 Galatians. Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit? Are you made perfect by the flesh? Now remember, he's writing to these people, and supposedly they got saved under the Apostle Paul's preaching. And he knows grace, and he knows the word, and he's preaching Christ, he's preaching grace, he's preaching salvation of the Lord. He's preaching it's the Spirit. He's preaching it's a new life in Christ. And they're saying they believe it, then somebody comes along and says, it's not enough. And I mean, he's mad. He says, you've begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? How you live your Christian life, in the flesh or in the Spirit? If you've begun in the Spirit, we should continue in the Spirit. So we're going to perfect ourselves by our many choices and decisions? Or are we led by the Spirit? And how's the Spirit going to lead us? In passive righteousness. How's the Spirit going to exalt Christ? That's his job on planet Earth. When I leave, I'll send the Spirit. He'll exalt me. He says he exalted the Father. He revealed the Father. He went back to heaven, Jesus Christ, the right hand of the Father. They sent the Holy Spirit. He's indwelling now. And what's he doing? Exalting Jesus Christ. That's his job. Plus conviction and, you know, and the fruit that Jim covered there. So praise the Lord. That was good. All right. So did you begin in the Spirit? Or are you now made perfect by the flesh? You know, that did you begin? Did you begin halfway in the Spirit? 3/4 of the way. Mark just gave me a guide down there. He says, I'm almost there, Bob. And I says, how much are you? How much of your righteousness? How much of Christ? A little bit of mine. And I says, well, which way should it be? He says, it should be all his. He says, but I'm becoming closer. That was a, you know, Jamil. Yeah. So that worked out really good. And, geez, I think this week I had a 70-30 guy, 70-30, Christ righteousness, 90-10 guy, and, 50-50 guy. And, not too many 100-0s, but I always ask them, which way should it be? And most of them will say it should be 100 Christ, all his righteousness, nothing to me. I says, well, you got the message now. Now God has to do it. So, that works out pretty good. So, anyway, how did we begin? Now, if we didn't begin in the Spirit, we won't continue. That's why most people drop off. They're just not born again. They don't have the Spirit. They're still trying to in the flesh. So have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? So it's vanity, you know, to try to work out your own salvation. The Bible says work out your own salvation in fear and trembling in 2:12 of Philippians, and 2:13 says, for it is God both to will and to work in you of his good pleasure. So he has begun a good work in us. He will see it to completion. I'm convinced. And he's been faithful to me for 46, 47 years. I'm considering he'll be faithful to the end. Then Philippians 3:9, I won't found having any righteousness of my own, which is by the law. Oh, and I pray, oh, Lord, keep me from that, Father. Keep me from any righteousness by the law. Don't let me go back to my old religious life. And he's got to keep me. I ain't keeping myself. I can't do it. It's God's keeping me. And he's got to keep me to the end. And I die speaking of his righteousness with all my lips. Oh, that's my heart's desire, and that's God's work. My mother says she was believing for 20 years. 2 weeks before she died, she says, Bob, you talked to all my old friends, and they said they were being good to get to heaven. I can't believe they'll go to hell because they don't trust Christ. I said, so, Mom, what are you going to do? She says, I'm going with my old friends. I quit you and the Bible. 2 weeks before she died. And if God didn't give her repentance after that, I believe she ended up in hell. And there was no change in her life anyway. Same old, always, no desire for the word, unless I was down there talking to her. So, how can I say that? Because I love Christ more than I love my mother. I love the Word of God more than I love my mother. God has the preeminence. And he put that in there. It ain't me. Okay. Verse 5. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit, works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Praise the Lord. Paul and those early apostles, man, they had that gift of miracles too. God gave it to them just to establish the church. So thank God for that. When we pray for them, maybe we'll see something happen, but they just had it. It was great. So verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, where did Abraham get the faith? Why did he get it? I like the one teaching. Jim could probably say something on this, too, that Noah was his grandfather. And somebody says he believes he got the teaching about God from Noah. I never looked up those records. I thought that was interesting, the fact of the account. So Noah, hopefully, was in the same bloodline as Abraham, and he got Abraham to faith, so Abraham believed. And remember, he preached 120 years. Noah did. Noah preached 120 years with not one convert. But hopefully Abraham was through that line. So verse 7, know you therefore that they which are of faith are the same as the children of Abraham. Now I'm saying this faith is a supernatural faith. This faith is a work of God, the work of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They've given us faith, but the faith just sees a perfect object in Christ, the perfect cross in Christ, the perfect resurrection. They see his divinity. He's the God-man. He's perfect. They see him as co-creator with the Father. They see him in the beginning. They see Christ as everything. They see their works as filthy rags. So God's doing the work, and praise his holy name. He does the work, and he gets all the glory. All glory to him. So that's another study I'm doing in the Bible on his glory. Oh, all glory to you. Okay. We're open again for any questions, comments, testimonies.
I have a comment, if I could. When you said that, I don't mean to stir up any controversy, but you said we're saved by Christ and not by faith. I just think that probably needs clarified, if I could. That the merit of our salvation is not by faith, but the means of our salvation is by faith. It's how Spurgeon puts it up in the Old Grace, the merit of salvation and the means of salvation. And he also gives that illustration, which I think is helpful, that faith is the conduit, or like the pipe, and then salvation is the water that runs through the pipe. So the salvation is in Christ is what actually gives us a life and is the merit of salvation. But the means by which we are saved, the thing that delivers that is faith that's given to us by God. So, right. I think
sounds good.
Faith. Yeah, I don't think we can say that we're not saved by faith. Or by grace you saved through faith, right? Or many other scripture texts that say by faith we're saved. But it is an important point that you make there. I think it's important to make it that we're not saved. The merit is not in our faith. In other words, God doesn't look down and say, "Wow, you're a good person because you were able to believe. Now I'm going to save you." Right? That's how we might look at it, which is not what. That is not salvific. It's not unto salvation. Our faith does not have full merit in itself. Faith cannot grant you forgiveness, and faith cannot grant you any righteousness outside of that faith being in Christ. That Christ is the salvation. But faith.
Say the object is where the merit is.
Right.
Right. like you give that illustration of looking through a telescope. You're looking through this object and you're looking to Christ. The object is Christ, but the faith is the looking. Is that right?
Yeah. And like the telescope really would see nothing if whatever the object that it's looking at wasn't there, you know, so it would really be useless.
Right, and he uses that illustration all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Stagnant, you mean? Space is fixed.
Yeah.
But salvation is moving, you're saying. I guess you could look at it that way. If you look at it, pipe and the
Well, you remind me of a missionary story with that conduit. This missionary went to a foreign field and he built them a water pump for the well, and he kind of attached a dummy to it, cranked the thing up and down, and to bring the water. So one of the village people come up to the missionary and says, "Oh, you are like the dummy." He says, "You are pumping out the word to us." He says, no, sir, it don't work that way. Come up and look close at the dummy. So he's looking at the dummy. He says, oh, the water is pumping the dummy. The dummy's not pumping the water. And that's the same with us as ministers. You know, it's like we're the dummies that God's working through. I thought that was a good illustration. So, anybody else, anything out there? Okay, let me pray. It's about time anyway. Well, Father, we just thank you for the grace that's sufficient. Thank you for strength that's perfected in our weakness. Thank you, Lord. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, Father of lights. Thank you, Father, for the greatest gift you gave your Son. Thank you, Christ, you came willingly. He says, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down willingly. I got power to take it down. I got power to lay it down and take it back up. Thank you, Lord, we may know you, the power of your resurrection, Lord, and being conformed to your sufferings, Lord. So thank you for your grace again that's sufficient for us, Lord. Lord, cause us to look up on to you, Christ, the author and the finisher. Give us faith to look up on the fields. Poor, lost, perishing souls, Lord. Lord, just use us to pray, to go, even to hand out a tract, hand out the Bible. Thank you for the lady in Walmart, Lord, that gave her a little Bible a week ago. And I passed through the line. And she says, I'm reading that little white Bible, and I love it, she said. And the Muslim lady that took one, two in line, Lord, and she kissed it and said, thank you. I'll look for mercy. Lord, your word is so quick and so powerful. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You make it alive. And Lord, don't let us be familiar with the scriptures. Let us read, meditate, pray, memorize, and to know you, Christ, our great God and Savior. So thank you, Lord, for the study today. Thank you, we could preach it so freely. Bless our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world, Lord, who suffer in jail, lose home, family, jobs, just to make you known, Christ, according to your scripture. So comfort them today, O Christ. And Lord, they will obtain a better resurrection too. In that day, for your glory, Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.